they were twinkling sometimes. She had a small gap in her front teeth, which turned me on, and her skin was smooth all over. She didn't have a single scar on her. She told me once that she used to have a lot of bruises from being beaten, but had used vitamin E capsules, popped open and spread over her skin, to get rid of any visible trace of them. I only wished that I could get my hands on even one of the men who had laid a finger on her. Sick motherfuckers. She put a sliver of soap in her mouth, got down on her knees, and started sucking my dick. She'd grown used to the size, and even though there was no way that she'd ever be able to take me entirely into her mouth, she had figured out a way to make it seem like she had it totally engulfed. I was about to come when I pulled away. No, not yet. Stand up. Gemistry stood and took the soap out of her mouth. Did you like that, baby? You know I did. You're so creative. Freaky and creative. Don't you forget it. We both laughed. I can be a little creative myself, I said. Oh, yeah? So what are you gonna do to me? Turn around. She turned toward the wall. Assume the position. She spread her palms on the tile wall and spread her legs as far as she could in the space. I stuck the tip of my finger in her anus, and she twitched. I need to make sure you don't have any contraband in your ass. I spread her cheeks and pushed my index finger in farther. Not too sure. I may need to do some further exploration.
Are you serious? Gemistry asked, looking over her shoulder. I'm not sure if I can handle all of that in my ass.
I agree. I don't think you can either. I'd actually never had anal sex. It never seemed like a mandatory thing to me. I loved pussy. But I did want to see what would happen if I played with Gemistry's ass. I slipped two more fingers into her ass.
What are you doing? She asked.
Being freaky and creative. I bent my knees and placed the head of my dick at the rim of her pussy and started fucking her. Her pussy gripped around my dick as if it was milking it. Again, that is what I adored about her. Her desire for me was real, not fake, and she wanted me as much as I wanted her. After a couple of minutes of going to town on her pussy, I started moving my fingers in and out of her ass at a rapid speed. The effect was immediate. Gemistry spurted pussy juice all over my dick and then screamed out in pleasure.
Shit! She exclaimed. Oh my be Jesus!
She tried to get out of the shower, but I held her in place. Hold still, I whispered in her ear. I haven't come yet. You know it feels good.
Yes, it feels real good.
I want you to cream all over my dick again. I'm not taking it out until you cream again. I kept plummeting my dick in and out of her pussy until we both climaxed together. After that, we lay in bed and stared each other in the eyes until we both dozed off. I fell asleep with the vision of Gemistry in my mind and in my heart.
Chapter 14. I was born with an enormous need for affection and a terrible need to give it. Audrey Hepburn.
Man, your game ain't shit.
Floyd was talking mad shit as usual.
For someone so damn tall, you shoot like a 10-year-old.
Whatever, man. I always beat you, and I'm gonna beat your ass again today. We were playing basketball, one-on-one, in his driveway. He lived out in Largo with his wife and four kids. We worked together at Sibley. Floyd was a cardiologist.
That's an urban legend. You've never beat me.
I had the ball after Floyd had barely managed to make a layup with his 5'8" frame. Midget. I looked around. No one else is out here, so not sure who you expect to hear that lie. I'm up 5 points right now, yet you call my game shit?
I'm fucking with you, man. It's all about knocking down some stress.
Damn right. I bounced the ball twice and made what would have been a 3-pointer on a professional court. Kind of like I just knocked that ball into the basket without you even touching it, huh?
Whatever, punk.
We both chuckled as Floyd attempted to catch his breath.
Let's take a break and get some of Courtney's lemonade.
Ooh, I love your wife's lemonade, I replied. Besides, you look like you're about to have a coronary. Not a good look for a cardiologist. Floyd threw the ball at my chest, and we headed into the house. We ended up in Floyd's man cave watching sports highlights on ESPN. His wife, Courtney, had come in from shopping with the kids. She came downstairs to speak and then vanished somewhere else in their spacious home. "Why'd Courtney evaporate so fast?" I asked him.
"This is called a man cave for a reason, Tevin. No women allowed unless they're dropping off a 12-pack of beer or some sandwiches."
I pushed the button to lift the foot portion of the recliner that I was sitting on. "It's good to see that you have such a high respect for women."
"Hey, I respect my wife, and part of that respect is because she knows how to stay in her lane."
"Her lane? Isn't she in the lane right beside you? Your equal?"
"She's right behind me in the lane. I'm the man, which means that what I say goes."
"You're straight tripping. That is that old-fashioned mentality. Chicks aren't playing that today." Floyd muted the television and stared at me.
"Old-fashioned my ass? It's biblical. Eve was made from Adam's rib, point blank, period."
We had already switched from lemonade to beer. Neither one of us felt like going back outside to finish the game. I was going to win regardless. Point blank, but no period. While I totally agree that back in the day men ruled the world, you have to admit that a lot of our brethren have surrendered that kind of thinking and are trying to live off women instead. How can they be considered the head of anyone's household if they aren't paying any bills?
"I'll give you that, but that's not what's happening up in here. I pay all the bills, and Courtney stays home and raises the kids."
"Doesn't she have a degree in psychology from Hampton? Didn't she minor in business management?"
"Yes, but the only business she's managing for the next decade at least is the business of running this household and letting me take over once I enter my kingdom."
I shrugged. "Different strokes for different folks. If she likes it, I love it."
"Not only does she like it, she wants it this way."
He turned the volume up a little so he could hear something the sportscaster was saying. Then he turned it back down.
"Courtney went to college but never truly aspired to be anything more than a housewife. Her mother wanted her to become a psychiatrist, but her father sent her to Hampton to find a husband."
He ran his fingers over his chest and patted his abs.
"And she found the bomb diggity."
Floyd was the kind of doctor who thought he was the shit. You couldn't tell him anything. And as much as he sat there bragging about being such a great husband, I knew he had fucked at least a half dozen nurses at that hospital. He gave making rounds an entirely new meaning. "Are you still messing with that nurse from the burn unit?" I asked him, trying to knock him down a peg or two. "The married one?"
"Depends on how you define messing with. She loves to give head, so I lend her mine a few times a week. I wouldn't actually fuck her with someone else's dick."
"But why do you find it necessary to even do all that? I'm sure Courtney hooks you up. I know you, and there's no way you would have ever married a woman who didn't give blowjobs."
"And you are absolutely correct with that statement. However, Women suck dick differently, and there's nothing wrong with variety. It's what makes life interesting. You can't tell me that every single woman who's ever gone down on you had the same skills, any more than you can say that they all have the same pussy.
I couldn't argue with that and admitted it.
True enough, but I'm not married like you are. When I was, I never cheated on Estella, and I'm not going to cheat on Gemistry. What do you want, the Male Saint of the Year Award?
Floyd sighed and took a swig of beer.
Besides, I would never say never if I were you. There's always, always someone who could come along and make you eat those words, along with her pussy.
Not in my case. The same nurses throwing cooch at you throw it at me, and I deflect all of them like flies.
Damn. Now why would you call fine women flies?
You know what I mean. I'm not crazy enough to jeopardize my career over casual sex, and you need to stop it before it all catches up with you. Floyd waved me off.
Every chick I've fooled around with on the job has done a bunch of dudes. They all know what time it is. Long hours, a bunch of stressful shit always going on, and people dying all around us. Sometimes we all need to escape for a few minutes, and there's no better way to relax outside of fucking. That shit's better than popping five Valiums.
Well, sex is cool, but making love is where it's at. You're too old to be still trying to nail random broads.
So you say. Not to mention that you're married with four damn kids.
Wow. Floyd looked at me like he was shocked.
You mean to tell me that I have a wife and kids? I never knew that.
I threw my beer cap at him. Okay, I'll drop it. But all I'm saying is that if I'm hearing about all of your extracurricular activities at work, other people know. I'm not one to gossip, so it's getting around. They're going to nickname you Water Cooler Dick in a month or two if you don't quit.
I hear you. I do need to slow down. The shit's getting old.
It's not only old, it's dangerous. All it takes is one doctor going home and blabbing to his wife during pillow talk, and her being one of Courtney's buddies, and it's a wrap. Courtney's cool, and while she probably expects you're doing some dirt, if she finds out any facts, she'll take your ass to the cleaners. Not to mention putting foot to ass.
She's not putting any foot to anyone's ass, but I get your drift. It's not worth it.
Floyd turned the television back up, and we sat there watching it for a few minutes while we finished our beers.
Speaking of pillow talk, Floyd said out of the blue, when am I going to meet Gemistry? She's all you ever talk about.
I'm not letting you around my girl. You might try to talk her out of her panties.
Man, that hurts. I'd never do that to you.
Floyd really had a painful expression on his face. I'm only kidding.
Relax. Sure, you can meet her. Why don't we plan to take Courtney and Gemistry out to dinner next weekend? Are you on call on Saturday?
No, I'm off. But Courtney already made me promise that we'd take the kids down to Williamsburg and stay at Great Wolf Lodge.
Well, sounds like fun. Happy, happy, joy, joy, Floyd stated sarcastically. I plan to catch me some serious Z's while they run around the indoor water park. I don't mind doing bush gardens, though. I need to keep my eyes on the kids in a crowded place like that.
Isn't next weekend their season opening?
Yes, so it's going to be packed. Six Flags is damn near around the corner, but she wants to go more than 3 hours away. I don't get it.
Well, she can take the kids to Six Flags anytime.
Go and make them all happy. I'm going, I'm going.
There is something I want to run past you, Floyd, I said, my mood changing.
Shoot.
As you probably remember, I married Estella rather quickly. I'm not sure we knew enough about each other to make that move in that time frame.
We loved each other, sure, but I'm not sure we knew enough about each other's capability to handle life.
Man, you and Estella would still be married to this day if it weren't for what happened.
You can talk about the miscarriages. It's my reality. I had 3 children who never had a chance to experience a day of life, but I've finally accepted it. Matter of fact, I called Estella the other day and apologized.
Floyd sat up in his seat.
Apologized for what?
Not being as supportive as I could have been. Not understanding what she was really going through. I shouldn't have.
Tevin, I get it. Then again, I don't. You dealt with the loss the best way that you could, and you were there for her. She shut you out. I remember. I was there. I was the one you talked to because she wouldn't even discuss it. Sure, it was probably harder on her. It wasn't that you couldn't get her pregnant. It was because she couldn't carry to term. We're both doctors, so you and I both know that everyone's body is not the same. It never weakened your love for her. It simply got to the point where the pain of looking at each other was too much. You'd work overtime and sleep in your office at the hospital to avoid going home. That was no way to live. Let that go.
I have let it go. We've been divorced for years. She told me she's engaged and thinking about adoption.
Floyd stared at me.
And how do you feel about that?
I'm happy for her.
He eyed me suspiciously.
I am. I did love Estella, but if I'm being honest with myself, I never loved her as much as I loved Gemistry.
Wow! I have got to meet this chick who has you all sappy and shit.
I chuckled. She's a remarkable woman.
Well, we can't do dinner next weekend, but what about Wednesday night?
I'm cool for that day, and I'll check with her.
Let me guess. You brought up what happened with Estella because you're ready to propose to Gemistry?
Something like that. But I'm afraid it might run her away. Gemistry's not that trusting.
So why be with a chick who doesn't trust you?
I never said she didn't trust me. It's only that she trusted the men in her past who hurt and abused her. She doesn't know whether I'm a lunatic or not. You know that's not the case, but she doesn't.
I feel you. That's what happens when a lot of men out there do trifling shit and then make women bitter for the next man.
I could not believe Floyd had the nerve to say that when he was cheating on Courtney on the regular, like it was his part-time career. I decided not to bring it up again. If he wanted to believe that he was dropping nuggets of wisdom, so be it. I settled in, opened another beer, and started watching ESPN. Even though I believed that Gemistry loved me, and it showed in her actions, she still had yet to admit it. Part of me had to wonder if I was imagining that she felt the same way for me as I felt for her.
Chapter 15. Immature love says, "I love you because I need you." Mature love says, "I need you because I love you." Eric Fromm. It was Memorial Day weekend, and Gemistry was floating on cloud 9 since school was about to let out. She was also a bit overwhelmed with trying to get everything done. Medgar Evers had had their graduation the weekend before. More than 600 graduates. It was a big-ass school. Gemistry had to stand on stage for all that time. Her principal's speech was astounding and motivational. She told everyone that it was crucial not to allow dream stealers and reality stealers to prevent them from going after their goals. She spoke nothing but the truth. She also told them that it was important for them to determine whether they wanted a steady paycheck from working 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year, or whether they wanted to be an entrepreneur and get paid based on their own efforts.
She explained that neither one of those choices was any better than the other. It was whatever each person felt comfortable with. Her main concern was that they do something after making it through high school, work, college, the military, something other than simply giving up like so many do. After the graduation, I had gone out with her to celebrate with a few of the kids and their families. One of the parents had rented out the ballroom at the Renaissance Hotel on K Street. We had a great time chilling with them all. The food was good, the music was on point, but I must admit that the way the teenagers were dancing, in front of their parents no less, threw me for a loop. They were doing something called the red nose, where girls spread their legs apart and then shake their asses up on the boys like red-nosed pit bulls and some other freaky shit that I had never seen. The parents joined in when they started doing the wobble, a line dance. Gemistry even got out on the floor on that one. She couldn't act too loose around the students or parents. She told me once that with everything going viral, it was important not to get caught up in some foolishness, not as a principal. I didn't need that as a highly respected surgeon, either. Earlier in the week, we had had dinner with Floyd and Courtney at Art and Soul on Capitol Hill. The two women hit it off well and exchanged numbers, making plans to do a spa day together in the near future. Floyd pulled me aside when we were waiting for the valets to retrieve our cars after dinner and said, "None of my business during pillow talk, man. Looks like our women are about to become chummy, and I don't need any drama." I whispered to him, "Well, maybe you should tame it down like you said you would. I'm still hearing about your dirt, water cooler dick. Something about a threesome in a maintenance supply closet last week." Floyd smirked. "I couldn't turn that one down. Two hyperactive nursing assistants at once? It was out of this world." I shook my head as they pulled up with my Benz. Gemistry was hugging Courtney a few yards away. "Okay, I keep warning you, but you're going to have to learn the hard way. You can come stay with me when your wife kicks you out." Floyd chuckled. "Not going to happen." Famous last words. I decided to get into my car and mind my business. It didn't sit well with me, though. Throughout dinner, Courtney had sung Floyd's praises. She really believed that he was faithful, or at least she was making very good at making it seem like she believed it. I glanced over at Gemistry in the passenger seat. She was catching up with her emails on her iPhone. Even under the streetlights, her exquisiteness blew me away. There was no way that I would ever betray her trust like that. "It has been years since I've been on an island." Gemistry was excited as we walked along the beach at the Ritz-Carlton in the Cayman Islands. The water was a clear green, and even though there was a good crowd, we were completely caught up in each other. "Yeah, me as well." She jumped onto my back and wrapped her legs around my waist and her arms around my neck. "Thanks for suggesting this. I needed to get away, even for a few days." She started sucking on my earlobe. "Keep that up, and I might drop you right here and make love to you on the sand." "That's not exactly a way to get me to stop. I wouldn't mind if you did." "Later on tonight, and I'm down. I'm not trying to get locked up over here." Gemistry laughed.
"So does that mean that I can't use the handcuffs that I brought along in my suitcase to chain you to the bed?"
"No, you can do that within the next 15 minutes.
"Well, shit." She jumped down off my back. "In that case, I'll race you back to the room."
Gemistry took off running. I decided to give her a head start. Her legs were so much shorter than mine. When she was about 20 yards away, I took off after her and still beat her to the elevator. "Baby,
I thought you were joking about the handcuffs. I squirmed as Gemistry was in the bathroom of our suite singing Do Me, Baby by Prince. I was nude and freshly showered, and she came out in one of the plush white robes the hotel provided, left open so I could see all of her sexiness.
Here we are, in this big old empty room.
She straddled my waist and gazed into my eyes, staring each other down. She checked to make sure that the handcuffs were still secure. I could smell her bath gel, which smelled like the ocean.
You want me just as much as I want you. Let's stop fooling around.
I licked my lips as she took off the robe and totally exposed her breasts. Her nipples were hard and standing at attention. So was my dick. She had ordered room service earlier and had requested a bottle of honey to use with her pot of tea. She reached over to get it off the rolling table, where the remnants of my steak dinner and her seafood dinner remained. Gemistry started drizzling honey on her breasts until she had used up half the bottle. Then she rubbed it all over them and her midriff, while my dick grew harder, if that were even humanly possible, by the second underneath her.
You're not allergic to honey, are you? She asked.
If I was, this would be a fine time to ask me. We both laughed. I'm not allergic. What I am is horny. You gonna let me suck it all off?
Only if you answer my trivia questions correctly.
I took my eyes off her tits and looked into her eyes. Are you serious?
Very. Don't pout. There are only a few of them.
I'm not trying to take an exam, but if that's the only way you'll let me make love to you, shoot.
What's my middle name?
I grinned. Easy one. Your middle name is Alicia.
Correct.
Gemistry held out her left tit for me to suckle on. Right when I was about to try to choke on it, she pulled it away.
Next question.
I sighed. This is killing me.
What was the name of my first dog?
It was almost impossible to think with all of the blood rushing to my dick. I remembered us discussing it. Shit. It was a German Shepherd. Durango! I shouted out. She started grinding on my dick but didn't put it inside her.
Correct again. Damn, it turns me on that you remember so much about me.
Climb on my dick.
No, I'm not ready for your tree stump yet.
Well, it's damn sure ready for you.
That's obvious.
Gemistry reached behind her and started playing with my balls.
I'll make this the last question.
Baby, as much as I'm enjoying your game, I really need you to climb on my dick.
First of all, I'm running this.
Gemistry suddenly tried to sound militant. Loved it.
I'm going to climb on what I want to climb on, when I want to climb on it.
She grabbed me roughly by my chin.
You understand?
Since I'm handcuffed to the bed, this is your show. Ask the next question.
Do you really, really, really love me, Tevin?
That would be a resounding yes. I gazed into her eyes.
You really, 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 really love me?
You can add really on there 100 times, and my answer will still be yes, Gemistry. I fell in love with you at first sight. I was hoping she was going to finally say that she loved me as well, but she didn't. Again, as long as I sensed it, I was going to roll with it and hope for the best. When she just continued to stare at me, I said, I'm glad you decided to give me a chance to love you the way that you deserve to be loved.
I'm glad that I decided to do that, too.
Gemistry bent over me and slipped her tongue into my mouth. I gladly accepted it. Even though we kissed all the time, it was different. It was more intense and filled with more emotions. Our kiss lasted a good 5 minutes. It was intense. She reached beneath herself, put my dick inside her, and started gyrating on it slowly. She broke the kiss and whispered, "I wish you could stay inside me forever." She grabbed my cuffed wrists for support and started riding me like there was no tomorrow, all the while allowing me access to her tits so I could suck them. She started speaking in tongues, literally. I had never heard any shit like that before. I had no idea that she even did that. It was alarming and arousing at the same time. She let go of my wrists, grabbed her own breasts, and started motorboating them across my face. I licked and sucked and licked and sucked, all the while we fucked. This woman had my nose wide open, and that wasn't about to change. Ever. Later on that night, we went out on the beach with a couple of large towels, found a secluded spot, and made love again. The next morning, I told Gemistry to rest while I took a run on the sand, but I really needed to take care of some business, and I did. Chapter 16. Where there is love, there is life. Mahatma Gandhi. School was finally out for Gemistry, and I decided to surprise her by cooking her dinner at her place. I had been over there several times to spend the night, but we rarely chilled there. She had a roommate, and I didn't, so it made sense to spend the majority of our time at my place. I'd given her a key within 2 months of dating. My mind was already made up that I didn't plan to see anyone else. When we were flying back from the Caymans, I brought up the option of her actually moving in with me. She said that she didn't want to leave Winsome hanging like that. Even though their lease was month to month, she explained that Winsome did not have the income to cover the rent on her own. I asked if there was someone else they knew who might room with her, but she knew of no one offhand. Everyone was already settled in someplace else. But if things went my way, eventually Winsome would have to find someone else to room with. I decided to bring that up when I showed up at their place that afternoon. Gemistry was not home yet. They were having an end-of-year faculty party in the teacher's lounge, and she didn't anticipate arriving home until after 6. My day had been light, no surgeries, so I was able to get out of the hospital by 2 and head over there, stopping at Whole Foods on the way to pick up everything that I needed to prepare dinner.
"Damn, that smells good!"
Winsome walked into the kitchen right as I was putting the Chilean sea bass on the indoor grill.
"What all are you making?"
"I'm grilling some fish, making some jasmine rice, some baby bok choy with sweet peppers and garlic sourdough bread. Then I'm finishing it with a creme brulee."
"Gemistry wasn't joking. You can really cook."
"I'm a master in the kitchen. You're welcome to a plate when it's done. There's plenty."
"Even if there wasn't plenty, I was going to get some. I've been known to eat off Gemistry's plate. There's no shame in my game."
I chuckled as I turned to face her. "Can you hand me that fresh rosemary over there?" Winsome picked up the bunch of rosemary and brought it to me. "Thanks," I said as she handed it to me.
"You're welcome."
She sat down at the kitchen table.
"I guess you and Gemistry will be spending a lot more time together since she's out for the summer."
"Well, she'll definitely have more free time, but hospitals never shut down. I do plan to take a couple of weeks vacation time so we can get away. She wants to go to Italy to take cooking lessons." I started breaking up the rosemary and sticking sprigs into the fish. As you can imagine, I'm as excited as she is about that.
Well, Gemistry definitely could benefit from cooking lessons. But don't tell her I said that. She's sensitive about her cooking.
Don't I know it? I paused for a few seconds, and then went and sat across from Winsome at the table.
Since you brought up the topic, I do want to spend as much time with Gemistry as possible. It would be perfect if she could move in with me.
It was like all of the air was suddenly sucked out of the room, like a scene from the movie Backdraft. The look on Winsome's face told me that it was about to come back in and combust into flames.
Move in with you, Winsome practically shouted. But what about me?
Winsome, did you honestly think that you and Gemistry would be roommates until the end of days? We're in love, and she's over my place at least 4 nights a week as it is.
And she's here 3 nights a week, Winsome said in defiance. Y'all haven't been dating long enough to move in together. And when did she say she loved you? She never told me that.
Those words stung. She realized that if Gemistry was ready to admit to being in love, she would have told her about it. I refuse to pay homage to her negative thoughts, though. Says who? You? You can't determine a timeline for our relationship. I crossed my arms in front of me. This was not going to be easy. If the two of us feel like we're ready to take that step, no one has the right to judge us, even you. We're in love, I embellished by speaking for both of us. And once we get married, she's going to have to move out any...
Get married! Gemistry hasn't said anything to me about a damn wedding, and trust, I'd be the first to know.
Actually, you'd be at least the third to know, because the two people in the actual relationship, the two people who will be in the actual marriage, would have to know first. I was hoping my point was delivered. When she rolled her eyes, I decided to clarify further. Winsome, Gemistry adores you. She talks about you all the time. She respects and admires a lot of your qualities. But there are some things that make her uneasy.
What things?
Winsome spat out the words.
Oh, let me guess. You have a problem with my sexuality.
I don't, and don't even go there. What I do have a problem with is you bringing a bunch of strangers up in here while my baby is around. If you want to risk your life over casual sex with the masses, that's on you. But it only takes one person to be certifiably crazy before a tragedy happens. I don't want Gemistry to end up on the First 48 or one of those other shows because you can't control your behavior.
How dare you?
Winsome jumped up from the table and placed her palms on the surface.
If you weren't a fucking rosewood tree, I'd smack the shit out of you.
If it makes you feel better, smack me. But I'm not taking back what I said, and I'm definitely not going to hit you back. Not in my nature. I stood up to check on the fish. I haven't officially asked my baby to marry me yet, but I'm sure she is anticipating it. I've been waiting for the right moment. Who knows? That right moment might come tonight. Winsome stormed out of the kitchen, went into her bedroom, and slammed the door closed behind her. I made sure the fish wasn't burning, flipped it over, and then reached into my pocket to retrieve the velvet ring box. I opened it and peeped the 6-carat De Beers Signature Collection platinum-banded ring that I'd purchased while we were in the Caymans. It was tricky trying to declare it at customs without Gemistry seeing it. Yeah, tonight is the night. I hope she says yes. Gemistry had called to tell me that she was running even later. Dinner was done, so I decided to go into her room and watch the evening news until she got there. Somehow, I dozed off. I must have been more tired than I'd thought, and the newscaster's voice might as well have been singing a lullaby. I was out like a light. I was still completely out of it when I felt Gemistry unzipping my pants
and pulling my dick out. "Ooh, baby," I whispered. "You're home." I loved it when Gemistry woke me up with her amazing head game. "So now you want to have an end-of-the-year party with me? Do your thing, baby." She didn't respond. She just took the tip of my dick into her mouth and went to work. It didn't take me long to snap out of it, open my eyes, and push Winsome off of me and completely off the bed. I jumped up as she climbed up off the floor. "What the fuck?" Winsome laughed. "I was only trying to give you what you wanted."
"I don't want you."
I stared at her in disgust as I tried frantically to put my dick back in my pants.
"You're fucking crazy."
"That's a big-ass dick you've got there." Winsome bit her bottom lip. "Now I see why Gemistry's so sprung. I should have known when she gave up both of her fuck buddies so fast. They'd been taking turns banging her pussy out for years."
"You're a dirty bitch."
"It's the truth. I bet you thought she was some kind of innocent and virginal chick when you met her, didn't you? She had your ass fooled, and she has your ass fooled now." "She told me about her past and what she was doing when we met. There's nothing you can say or do that will keep me from loving her." We both heard the key in the lock at the same time. I tried desperately to beat Winsome to the door, but by the time I got there, Gemistry was standing in the hallway and saw both of us come out of her room. There was no way that we could hide the expressions on our faces. Winsome walked past Gemistry and said, "I was keeping that dick warm for you until you got home. He's like a fucking python." Gemistry glared at Winsome as she disappeared out of sight and then turned her look of utter disappointment toward me. "Baby, I promise you this is not what you think."
"Not what I think?"
She pointed in the direction that Winsome had gone.
"I come home, catch the two of you rushing out of my bedroom, your belt unbuckled and your pants unzipped, and it's not what I think? It's exactly what the fuck I think."
I tried to move toward her and take her into my arms. She pushed me away.
"Don't even think about touching me. I trusted you. It took me years to let the walls of my fortress come down, and you do this to me? You're like all the rest of them."
"No, I'm not. I promise you that—"
"Stop saying promise," Gemistry screamed. "It's a lie. Everything you ever told me was a lie."
"Baby, when you said you were running late, I went to lie down." I pointed to her bedroom.
"I woke up with my dick in your roommate's mouth and immediately pushed her off me." "You are so full of shit. How did she manage to get your dick out of your pants and into her mouth without you noticing?"
"I thought it was you." My eyes were closed, but the second she started, when she put it in her mouth, I could tell the difference.
"I don't believe a word coming out of your mouth. You need to get the fuck out."
"I'm not leaving until we get this straight, until you understand what happened. Ask her what happened. Can you at least do that?"
"I don't even want to look at that bitch in this moment. She's—"
Winsome must have been hanging on to every word. She yelled,
"Don't call me a damn bitch because your man wanted some of this."
I couldn't believe that things were going down like that. I couldn't believe that the love of my life was about to reject me for something that I didn't do. How could a life already so fucked up and plagued with disappointment take another fucking blow? Gemistry went around the corner and I followed her. Before I knew it, she was on top of Winsome on the floor, pounding her fists into her face. Winsome was screaming for dear life and trying to protect her head. I pulled Gemistry off her.
"Baby, stop! It's not worth going to jail!"
"You filthy bitch!" Gemistry screamed, and started trying to kick Winsome as she got up off the floor.
It's not enough for you to fuck every Tom, Thomasina, Dick, Daisy, Harry, and Henrietta. Now you want to fuck my man.
Winsome wiped the blood coming out of the right side of her lip.
Actually, your man came on to me. That's a fucking lie, I said. You came in there when I was asleep and tricked me. Admit it.
I ain't admitting shit because it didn't go down that way. I was still holding on to Gemistry from behind. She grabbed at my wrists to try to free herself.
Let me go, Tevin.
Only if you promise you won't attack her again. I don't give a fuck about her, but I won't let anything happen to you. Gemistry started breathing heavily. She was in a blind rage.
No, I'm not letting you go. I'm taking you out of here before you end up hurt or in jail. You're a principal. Think about it.
Gemistry started to calm down some. One thing was for sure. She didn't want to jeopardize her career. She had worked too hard for it.
Let me go. I'm going to leave, and so are you.
I released. Good. We can go back to my place. You don't ever have to come back here. I'll get all of your things by tomorrow, and...
I'm not leaving any of my shit here, and I'm not going to your place.
She glared at Winsome.
As a matter of fact, you get the fuck out. I'm not going anywhere, Winsome proclaimed. Ain't no man coming between us. He needs to get the fuck out so we can talk.
Winsome, I swear on every grave of every dead relative that I have, if you don't get the fuck out of here within the next 2 minutes, I'm going to beat the living daylights out of you.
Gemistry, this is silly. Where am I supposed to go?
I don't give a damn. Out of all the people you're fucking, at least one of them should have a sofa for you to crash on. Or you can just get in their bed and spread your legs like you always do. Tell them that you'll fuck for 3 hots and a cot.
Are you really going to put me out of here? Winsome asked.
Are you really going to wait around and find out if I'll maim you? Winsome went into her bedroom. I tried to reason with Gemistry. All of this started because I discussed moving in together earlier, and she flipped. Gemistry turned and looked me in the eyes.
I can't deal with this right now. I need time.
But I'll be back tomorrow morning. Winsome had put on a pair of tennis shoes and grabbed her purse.
By then, everything should be back to normal.
Back to normal? How about you kiss my entire ass? Let's get something straight right now. We're no longer going to be roommates. I decided to share a home with a friend, not a backstabbing whore. Winsome stood there, tapping her right foot and staring up at the ceiling.
I'm not sure what happened between the two of you, but it's clear as a damn bell that it shouldn't have ever happened. You're so hurt and lonely that you want me to wallow in the shit pool of pity with you. Well, I'm not doing it another day.
You do realize that I could call the police because you assaulted me, right? Winsome asked, and then smirked.
My face tells the story.
Yeah, you can call the police, and by the time they get here, there'll be bruises all over your body. If I'm getting locked up, I'm gonna make it worth my time. The smirk quickly disappeared from Winsome's face. Both she and I realized that what Gemistry had said made a lot of sense. That damned Virgo was analyzing and plotting. If she was going to get arrested, she was going to cause more damage on her way there. I couldn't argue with that logic. Winsome didn't say another word. She left out and slammed the front door. Gemistry turned toward me.
Your turn.
I love you. You know that I love you. She went over and opened the door.
Please leave.
Not until we talk.
Look, Tevin, I'm not going to be the typical scorned woman, call the police, lie about you doing something to me, and then put you into the system with a restraining order. So many women do that, that when women really are in danger, people tend not to believe them. But I'm also not prepared to listen to any more of your lies tonight. It's too painful. If you truly give even an inkling of a damn about me, you'll leave. You'll leave right now and let me start to begin healing. The good part, if there is a good part in this cesspool of pure fuckery, is that I'm out of school for the summer. I'm going to deal with getting Winsome the hell up out of here for good. I'm going to drown my sorrows with peanut butter cups and butter pecan ice cream. I'm going to try to understand why my judgment in men is so poor yet again. There's nothing wrong with your judgment, baby. Not this time. I promise you that... There goes that word again. Promise. Blah, blah, blah. I realized that I was fighting a losing battle. I walked toward the door and paused in front of her. She looked away from me. You're not even going to look at me?
No, it's too hurtful.
I did as Gemistry wished and left. When I got into my car, I saw Winsome across the parking lot in her Toyota Camry, going off into her cell phone. Bitch. How could planning a romantic dinner and a proposal turn into such a horror story? Someone was playing a sick joke on me.
Chapter 17. Hate is easy. Love takes courage. Unknown. Many claim that there is life after death. I guess there is some truth to that because the biggest part of me died that night in Gemistry's apartment when she dismissed me from her life. My heart failed. It flatlined. I was like a zombie from the Walking Dead TV series. Sure, I was a functioning zombie, walking among a sea of functioning alcoholics, functioning gamblers, and functioning drug addicts. I went through the motions every day, even managed to stay on top of my game in the operating room. But once I left the hospital, all I did was go home, sit in the dark, and sink into a state of depression until the next morning. I tried to call Gemistry, but she blocked my numbers. She also blocked my email addresses. I staked out her parking lot a few times, but I never saw her enter or leave. Her car was never in the lot, which made me wonder if she had moved after all, or had left town. After everything in her painful past that she had told me about, the last thing that I wanted on my conscience was her thinking that I was the kind of man who would do anything to disrespect or hurt her. Yet, that's exactly what she thought. In her mind, I was a liar and a cheater, one who would sink so low as to do something sexual with her own roommate. To make matters worse, she had also lost faith in her best friend that day. Even I was shocked that Winsome would do such a thing, especially considering I barely knew her. Whether Gemistry believed that I came on to her or she came on to me, either way, the blow had to feel just as bad. Floyd showed up at my house two Fridays later with a pizza and a bottle of Crown Royal. When I opened the door and saw him standing there, my heart sank. I had hoped that it was Gemistry. "Don't look so happy to see me," he said as he brushed past me and entered. "Floyd, I appreciate you coming by, but I wouldn't be much company right now."
"So we'll eat all of these carbs and get drunk and pass out in silence. I know you're off for the weekend, as am I, so it's all good."
He put the pizza down on the coffee table.
"I can camp out for a couple of days if you want. Courtney's used to my long hours."
What part of me wanting to be alone don't you get? I asked sarcastically.
What part of I'm no longer going to sit back and watch you sink into a state of depression don't you get?
I sighed and plopped down on the sofa. What amazes me is the irony of it all.
What irony?
I warn you that you're going to lose Courtney when she catches you cheating, and I lose Gemistry instead, even though I wasn't cheating. Floyd shook his head and opened the pizza box.
See, sometimes it pays to do the wrong thing. Courtney's at home vacuuming and doing laundry after an afternoon of getting a pedicure, a manicure, and a facial that I footed the bill for. If and when I go home, she'll be in bed, freshly showered and ready to please her husband in every way imaginable.
It still doesn't justify what you're doing.
No, there is no justification for what I'm doing. I'm a dog, and there's no doubt about it. I even know what kind of dog I am. I looked it up.
I couldn't help but ask.
Looked what up? I went on the internet and researched the traits of different breeds of dogs.
Are you for real? I sighed. You have too much spare time on your hands.
I don't have any spare time on my hands, but I wanted to know. Think about it. From childhood, both of us have heard about all men being dogs. Hell, chicks started calling me a dog before I even got a good whiff of a pussy.
I chuckled. That's true. Girls in middle school were calling us all dogs.
Exactly. So I decided to finally investigate and see what the hell they were talking about. Most dogs are loyal, sit up underneath their owners, protect them, and will even lay down their lives for the people who feed them. Yet we're called dogs like it's a bad thing. If you ask me, dogs get a really bad rap.
Like I said, you have too much time on your hands. Floyd grabbed a slice of pizza. He was the only man that I knew who liked pineapple on pizza. That always seemed like a female thing. One day I had asked him about it, and he said that he ate a lot of fruit to counteract the other ingredients so his ejaculate wouldn't taste fucked up when chicks sucked his dick. Couldn't argue with that rationale. So what breed are you?
I'm proud to say that I'm an Alaskan Malamute.
He pointed at the pizza.
You're not hungry?
Floyd, you know I'm not into pineapple on pizza. You should have brought me a Meat Lover's. That's my shit.
Well, you can pick the pineapple off. But I suggest you eat it. And you already know why.
I'm not having sex with anyone right now. I don't want anyone but the one I can't have. I paused. I must be bored to ask this. What are the traits of an Alaskan Malamute? Never heard of it.
Good question. And dig this. Alaskan Malamutes have natural hunting instincts. They're independent, resourceful, and highly intelligent. They're difficult to train, but if an owner understands and keeps them motivated, a successful situation is possible. They rarely bark, but when they do, it comes out as more of a woo, woo, than a bark.
You're crazy, man, I chuckled. How many breeds did you have to go through to find that one?
It only took me about 15 minutes to define my character traits. Don't you think they fit me?
I have no fucking idea.
Well, let's break it down. I definitely have hunting skills. I can smell desperate pussy from a mile away. I'm independent and resourceful. I'm a wealthy doctor. I'm definitely hard to train. You're always saying how I don't let Courtney run all over me.
I never suggested that you let her run all over you. I suggested that you allow her to walk beside you.
Yeah, whatever. As long as Courtney keeps me motivated, the next trait on the list, our marriage, will be successful. And I don't exactly woo-woo when I bust a nut, but it's definitely not a bark.
I nodded my head. Like I said, you're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm the shit, and so is my dick.
Keep your dick out of this conversation. If I take mine out, this entire room will go down.